Good morning. Will you please go to the back of your bulletin and read with me the call to worship. Mary is with child. God's long-awaited promise is being fulfilled. The little baby in his mother's womb, he will be the savior of this hurting world. Praise be to God. Alleluia. Amen. Welcome to this worship service this morning, this 4th of Advent. We are very close to Christmas. We don't always get Christmas right after the Advent Sunday, but 3 days of celebration. Isn't that great? I just came from Betania and had a service there, and some of them said to say greetings to you, okay? So I pass it on. Greetings from our members at Bethania Personal Care Home. Are there any guests in our midst today that you would like to introduce or be introduced? Welcome here. Welcome to all of us for this worship service. And may the joy of the anticipation of Christmas be with us all. As a matter of fact, this morning I said the one Christmas gift that we all really need is a gift of grace, so that we are gracious with each other today. That was my English meditation this morning, in a nutshell. We will then hear the next song. We will sing together the next song, and you are going to.
Please stand to sing number 184 in the blue hymnal. Good morning. That's Hark the Glad Sound, 184. This is a happy song.
Sharing that you would like to do this morning. That's just the opportunity now. I know that's not in your bulletin in that order. I just put it up.
I'm just going to say my brother Peter died, and I'm sure you know already, everybody. But it's a blessing for him, but it's very sad for us. I have two brothers, and we are very close, and I love them both very much, and no one of them is gone. And it really is a sad feeling. And they're having a viewing this afternoon at Chapel Lawn, because the little granddaughter, she's five, Jennifer's little girl, Lottie had said, "But I did not say bye to Opa, and now he went to heaven, and I wanted to say bye." So they decided to have this, and she drew pictures on Thursday night when we did the obituary. So she's going to have her pictures and Opa's coffin. So thank you very much. And please pray for me, because I got to be strong for my sister-in-law. She's very confused. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We will now have the children's story, and I invite you forward.
Good morning. So today we lit are we all here? Yes. Today we lit the fourth candle on our Advent scene, and I've been thinking to remind you, when you go down to Sunday school today, you need to go down the long way, all the way to the end of the hall, so you guys can look at your own art that you've done on the wall there and check and see how far Mary and Joseph are down the road to Bethlehem that you worked on so long ago. Okay, so on First Advent, we talked a little bit about how we're afraid, but God always gives us the gift of hope. And then the next week we talked about waiting, and I told you the story about Zechariah and his wife. They were both very old, and they had a baby. Does anyone remember the baby's name? Samuel, it's the same name as your dad. John, that's right. His name was John. And that was teaching us to wait, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth were waiting. And then last week, John all of a sudden was a big grown-up man, and he was telling people how to be getting ready for Jesus. And he talked about that we should share all our stuff with people that don't have stuff. And then this week, guess what? John is back in his mom's belly. Crazy the stories this Christmas have been back and forth. But now his mom Elizabeth is pregnant, and Mary, does anyone know who Mary is? Who's Mary? Well, Jesus' mom, that's right. So Mary just had a visit from the angels telling her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. And do you think that was pretty exciting, right? And maybe a little bit scary. But God, we learned whenever we're scared, God gives us hope. And so Mary had remembered that her cousin Elizabeth was also going to have a baby. So right after the angel talked to her, Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And she didn't have to talk to Elizabeth. As soon as Elizabeth saw Mary, she said, "I know that you're going to be the mother of Jesus." Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And then Mary spent 3 months with her. And while she was there, she sang a song, or she kind of made up a poem. Can I read it to you? Okay, it says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." She knew that. Everybody would remember her forever. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." So, this Sunday, we have lit the candle of love. And all of you were once little tiny babies. And when your families knew that you were coming, before they even knew you, they loved you. And that's how it was for Mary and Jesus. Before she even knew him, she loved him. So we're going to light the candle. We've lit the candle of love today. And the Bible tells us that when Mary found out she had been chosen to be the one to deliver God's gift to the world, she was filled with joy. So this is the Sunday of joy. And we are going to bow for prayer. Father, we are thankful for your gift of love. We rejoice with Mary for the great things you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now you get to show your love for us by practicing for tomorrow's show.
Tell me who's that baby in the manger bed?
I finally got into the mood of Christmas. It's not that easy when you always think of something else, you know. I want to share some of the announcements. First of all, look at number 6 in your announcements. We need people to participate in the work of the church, and you are necessary, not just wanted. So please take that to heart. The annual meeting is coming up. The date is there. And if you haven't written your report, Liana would be very thankful. I'm speaking here out of turn, but I'm sure she would be very thankful if those reports were there by Christmas, Boxing Day. And if you look in the back page, there are not only the donations, but there's this fenced-in announcement about the budget. I always like that. You fence it in. That means it's important. So you got 7 days to give a real good Christmas gift to the church to fulfill the budget obligations, okay? Please take that as important, too. And then there's a number of death announcements that I like to make at this time. First of all, our condolences go out to Maria and Alan Perron, Hans and Anita Rempel, Adina and Ed Redekop, Rudy and Andrea Rempel, Adina and Brad Madison, Andrew and Marley Perron, Matthew Rempel, Hilia Rempel, Tyler Donald, Vanessa and Ed Harms, Stephen and Katie Redekop, and Amy, Deanna, and Natalie Rempel, along with the extended family and friends of the passing of their father and grandfather and great-grandfather, Hans Rempel Sr., aged 95. The funeral took place here at the church on Thursday. Condolences also go out to Louise Lage, Margie and John Nelson, Ed and Joyce Lage, Charles and Karen Lage, and their extended family and friends on the passing of their husband, father, grandfather, and uncle, Rudolf Lage, age 84, on Wednesday, December 19th. The funeral will take place here this coming Thursday at 11 a.m. And our condolences also go out to Nick Peters, Debbie Schween, Cindy Peters, Gerald Peters, along with extended family and friends, and I like to add their two names, Adina Peters and Adina Wall. On the death of Louise Peters, age 75, on Wednesday, December 19th, at Seven Oaks. The funeral will take place here at the church on Friday at 11 a.m. Condolences further go to Elsie Thiessen, son Jonathan, daughter Jennifer, and their family and friends on the passing of Peter Thiessen, age 78, on Thursday, December 20th. The funeral will take place at the Douglas Mennonite Church at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, January 8. So let's keep all these families and friends in our hearts and prayers, our thoughts, as during this time of Christmas and anticipation and joy, we also are confronted with the loss of loved ones, grief and pain and sadness. And sometimes I think that is exactly in sadness and in loss that we appreciate the life that is given. And it is a good reminder that Christmas is not only all about joy and good smells and good food, but also about poverty and a stinking barn and the animals around. And it was sad, not joyful. But we celebrate the hope and the joy of God's coming into our midst. And as we remember these four people who have gone from our congregation, midst of this community, we also know that they are in God's presence now. And may you find comfort in those thoughts. We'll sing a memorial hymn, and you will get the information.
Please turn in your brown hymnal to number 576 and 575. Please stand. We will sing one verse of When Peace Like a River and one verse of Under His Wings. So please stand.
In prayer. Lord, our God, we come to you with anticipation for the time of Christmas. We come to you with the anticipation that we will experience joy and grace. But in the midst of that, we acknowledge our own pain and loneliness, the loss of life, the loss of dear ones, the pain that comes from feeling forgotten, and the anger and hurt that might be in our families and among neighbors. We acknowledge that we are not perfect and that we need your love, your grace, your forgiveness. And so we ask that you be with us this morning, but every day of our life. Be with the families that are mourning and grieving the loss of family members. Be with those that are alone on this Christmas season. Be with those who struggle with health issues and are in care homes and bereft of mobility. Be with us as we look towards our own pain, that we acknowledge or not, and help us to open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds, so that we may hear and perceive and feel your coming into our life. Let the true Christmas begin. Let the joy and peace and hope be with us as we celebrate, as we extend one hand to another, and as you share our gifts of appreciation for those that are dear to us. And now, Lord, we ask that you bless us in this worship service. Help us to be in your presence. Help us to receive you in our lives and to live accordingly, with joy, with love, with hope. In Jesus' name, whose coming we celebrate, we pray. Amen. We will now receive the offering while the choir will sing. Scripture reading for today, Micah chapter 5. I'll read the verses from 1 to 5a. Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon his cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, we shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth, then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. And Psalm 80, 1-7. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. And Luke, chapter 1. And I'm going to read all the way from 39 to 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
Well, let me wish you a good morning. It's been a heavy week, and I've been fairly in the middle of it. Some things happened sort of expectedly, and others not this week. So we carry on with God's grace and strength, holding us close and enabling us. And I invite you to join me in a prayer before we focus on our sermon. Gracious God, you've been good to us. This week, some among us have perhaps struggled with that. There has been a lot of heaviness and heartache. And we want to pray that you would continue to grant peace and comfort to those who are grieving. And we pray that you would, though, enable us to turn our thoughts, our focuses, toward the text we're looking at this morning, toward the message you have for us. Guide us, we pray, by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we sing the hymn, Joy to the World, quite often at Christmas time. We don't sing it very often at other times of the year because we consider it to be a Christmas carol. We're going to sing it after the sermon in this service. Now, notice then that our latest hymnal doesn't include it in the selection of songs about the birth of Jesus. As far as the editors of our hymnal were concerned, this song doesn't belong among the Christmas carols. Were they nuts? How did they dare mess with our traditions? Maybe the old brown hymnal really is superior to the newer one, since it has Joy to the World in the section about Christ's birth. Well, when you consider the words of the hymn, they do not say anything specific about the birth of Christ. And when they speak of the coming of Jesus to earth, they speak of the coming of a king who rules without any mention of an infant. Pay attention to the hymn when we sing it. You may agree that it probably doesn't belong in the Christmas section of the hymnal. On the other hand, the message of Christmas is one that conveys the response of God to this world to bring restoration to it. And Joy to the World conveys that message well. So it works as a song that points us toward considering the restoration that God desires for our world. It also works as a song that takes into account our desire for restoration for this world. So this morning we will consider the kind of restoration for which Israel was looking and the kind of restoration God delivered, and consider what implications that has for us today. I had us read more scripture than usual perhaps this morning, two texts from the Old Testament. Now, while we never find complete agreement between commentators about the context and dating of biblical writings, it seems likely that the two texts we read this morning come from the same era in history, with the same broad context in mind. Both texts were likely written in the general context, the general time period of Israel's fall to the armies of Assyria in 722 BC. From 734 to 732 BC, King Tiglath-Pileser III of Assyria — nobody has thought to give their children those names in any recent times, eh? King Tiglath-Pileser III of Assyria set about conquering large territories of land in all directions from Assyria, which correlates roughly to modern-day Iraq. His armies took territory to the southwest as far as Israel. Israel lost much of its land to the Assyrians at that point. 10 years later, Assyria was moving against Israel again. Its capital, Samaria, fell, and Israel was conquered by Assyria. It seems likely that the psalm that we read was written in that context. Psalm 80 laments the situation in Israel. It views the conditions as reflecting God's anger being directed against the nation. The psalmist writes, "You have fed them with a bowl of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowl full. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us." Now, we can understand this lament if the people of the nation feel that God has given them over to this political tragedy. We're not analyzing today whether they were right in their feeling. We're certainly simply recognizing that this was their feeling and their lament. We can also understand their cry to God to restore them. Three times in the psalm, the people cry out, "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved." The people were longing for God's restoration. I think we can assume that they had a desire to see loved ones that had been taken into exile in Assyria, and that they had a desire for their nation to experience political restoration. The prophet Micah communicated in the same time period, although from the perspective of the southern kingdom of Judah. Early in the book of Micah, the fall of Samaria, to which we referred earlier, is written about. Our text from Micah for this morning came from Micah chapter 5 and may well have been written in the context of King Sennacherib of Assyria threatening Jerusalem. Micah chapter 5 verse 1 speaks of a siege being laid against them. In 701 BC, Sennacherib, another good boy's name, overran Judah and besieged Jerusalem. It may well be that Micah's writing in chapter 5 dates to this time. Although Sennacherib eventually gave up the fight against Judah at that time, we can well imagine the people of Judah living in fear and desperation. They remembered their northern brothers being devastated by Assyria 20 years earlier. Now it seemed to be their turn. And so they desired restoration for their nation. I think we can assume that they wished that their nation could return to having the kind of glory, power, and influence that it had had in the times of the kings David and Solomon. They felt like God had been favoring them then, and a return to those conditions would signal God's favor again. In that context, the prophet Micah uttered words of reassurance. God would bring restoration to Israel. A ruler would come out of Bethlehem. This ruler would shepherd the people of Israel. This ruler's greatness would reach to the ends of the earth, and his people would live in security. He would be their peace. Restoration, then, was greatly desired in Psalm chapter 80 and projected in Micah chapter 5. And with that context in mind, we arrive at our gospel text. About 700 years had passed from the historical context we considered for our Old Testament text for this morning. Almost 600 years had passed since Jerusalem had fallen to the nation of Babylon. Various empires had come and gone, and Israel had been subject to a variety of foreign nations. But Israel had never become an independent state again. The people of Israel were still waiting for that to happen. And then God acted. The text prescribed for this morning told us of Mary visiting Elizabeth, and then of the song Mary composed to celebrate the acts of God. Just before those events recorded in the Gospel of Luke, Luke told us the story of the angel of God appearing to Mary and telling her that God was going to work by causing her to give birth to a baby that would be the Son of God and who would become the ruler of Israel forever. The restoration that Israel had long begged for and anticipated was almost present. Mary responded with the words we have come to know as Mary's song. Mary rejoices that God's restoration is at hand. She anticipates that God's restoration will bring down the proud and arrogant and will lift up the humble. It will send the rich away empty and provide what the hungry need. The restoration that Mary imagined was embodied in Jesus. Now, my sermon title indicates a delivery of restoration that had actually not quite taken place yet. Mary had not yet delivered, after all. But it was close enough to becoming real that I thought I could put the idea that restoration was delivered in the title of the sermon. We have arrived at the last Sunday of Advent. Advent, of course, is a time of waiting. The Christian church emphasizes this time of waiting before Christmas. We're not really waiting for the birth of Jesus anymore, although we kind of pretend that way through the time of Advent, but we're not. Jesus came, and Jesus brought restoration. He brought to the world the understanding that God loves all of humanity and wants humanity to live knowing God's love and sharing it with each other. This was not a restoration that brought a nation back into political prominence. This was a restoration that changed human hearts, so that humans would live in relationship with God, and so that our world would experience justice and peace. This was a restoration that reminds us that God is continually working to change each one of us so that God's peace, love, and justice is present in us and through us to others. In Advent, then, we focus our thoughts on what God is going to do next in us and through us. As I conclude, I want to direct our thoughts to the personal transformation required for us to fully participate in this restoring work of God. And I'm going to share a longer quote with you, thoughts I found online written by Brian McLaren. You may recognize that Brian McLaren has been significant in calling evangelical Christians to pay attention to social justice in the last few decades. Now, knowing how much emphasis he has placed on that idea caused me to be startled by the words in his quote that emphasized a personal interior restoration. I'm startled because sometimes the prophets of social justice don't focus very much on what goes on inside of us. They're looking at the world and systemic problems and suggesting that we work to better them. But McLaren in this quote reminds us that it begins inside of us. In this post, McLaren was reacting to having recently sung the hymn, Joy to the World. You will find a number of references to the words of the hymn scattered in this quote. So I trust that you will accept this longer quote from his writing, knowing that I generally don't think it's a great idea for a speaker to give you a long quote from somebody, but I'm doing it today. Here's McLaren's words. Two moments in the song took my breath away. The first came when I sang, "Let every heart prepare him room." If the carol is right, the way earth receives God's Prince of Peace is through individual hearts like ours. By making space, by opening our hearts to Christ, by letting our lives be the stable and manger into which good news quietly comes, by rendering the vacuum and vacancy within us vulnerable to the incoming of the Spirit, we become, like Mary, Theotokos, God-bearers. That brings me to the second transcendent moment in the carol for me this week. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The coming of a good king in the ancient world meant a lot, and although kingly language may sound archaic today, I think we can recapture its meaning when we think of a thorny land, polluted by sin and cursed by sorrow, becoming verdant and fertile and healthy again, blessedness flowing over the land like a warm breeze. And of course, this is where the personal and political meet. Thinking about justice, talking about peace, debating public policy, and working for social change are important, but not as a substitute for the very personal choice to prepare him room in our hearts, so that, as the saying goes, we can be the change we want to see in the world. The way earth receives her king and the blessings he brings is not by bombs and guns and wiretaps and coups, not by aggressive blog postings or passionate media pronouncements by pundits. Rather, the king and the kingdom come first to the quiet hearts of humble people who prepare him room, and the joy flows to the world through them. Brian McLaren. So drawing on McLaren's ideas, I would encourage us with these words. May we, who desire God's restoration to be present in our world, recognize that God's restoration begins with each of us, opening our hearts to the presence of God by the Holy Spirit within us, so that we can walk in right relationship with God and join in with the justice, love, and peace that is God's restorative work. Let's pray. Our God, we have considered the nation of Israel long ago, longing for restoration. We have considered how you delivered that in Jesus. And we have considered how you continue to deliver restoration to us as we open our hearts to Christ, the King, the Shepherd. May we be open to your work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Joy to the World, number 318 in your blue hymnal. Please, you may sit.
Closing hymn, we'll sing the insert that you have. My soul is filled with joy. I invite you to stand for the benediction and remain standing for the singing of the hymn. Lord, we ask you, bless us and keep us. Let your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift your countenance upon us and give us your peace today and forever. Amen.
Before we sing, I just want to remind you that tomorrow at 6:30, the Sunday School and Choir will be having a program. Okay, it's in the bulletin and everywhere else, but you'll hear it from me. This is Mary's Song in your insert. It's a version of Mary's Song. I'd like us to sing verse 1 and 4 and 5. If you're Irish, you'll know this tune. If you're not, it's quite easy to sing.